Well, this message is a continuation of the message that I preached a couple of weeks ago, Armed and Dangerous. You know, the Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe the church. And one of the metaphors that the Bible uses is the sheepfold. And we are like sheep in the sheepfold. Or he uses the metaphor of the body. We are like body parts. The ears, the eyes, the smell, and that kind of thing. We are also corporately the bride of Christ. But in this passage that we have been dealing with in Ephesians on spiritual warfare, we are soldiers in God's army. That's more or less what we are as a church. And William and Catherine Booth, who established the Salvation Army, they took this metaphor so seriously that they transformed the name of their organization from the East London Revival Society to the Salvation Army, and they set up their organization around military lines as a spiritual military. And when Paul was writing Ephesians, he was a prisoner in Rome awaiting his sentencing or awaiting his trial from Nero, and he happened to be in a rented home, chained to a Roman guard, a Roman soldier. And so, while he was writing this epistle, he may have been looking at some of this armor that this Roman soldier was. He might have just been looking and then writing down, and looking over and writing down, because he was chained to this soldier, so he couldn't get away. So, Roman soldiers in those days were armed and dangerous against their enemies, of course, armed and dangerous physically. God wants us to be armed and dangerous spiritually against the powers of darkness. And so I'm going to pick up right where I left off in the last time I was preaching with the same title, Armed and Dangerous, Part 2, and with the same theme. The theme being the armor of godly living spells death to spiritual deceit. There is no spiritual deceit as long as we are wearing this armor. Now, it starts out in verse 16, it says, in addition to all of this, and this is a good way for review, in addition to all what? Well, the three things we just said couple weeks ago. The belt of truth, protecting what the mind digests, protecting the food of Scripture, the truth of Scripture that our mind digests. The breastplate of righteousness to keep our hearts pure, to keep our inner being pure. And then the gospel of peace to direct our steps or to direct our feet in the path of proclaiming God's message, in the path of proclaiming the truth, His good news of peace. So what's next? What's next in verse 16? In addition to all of this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Keep up your guard. The shield of faith. In boxing, your opponent is looking for an opportunity for a knockout punch. That's what your opponent is looking for as in a boxing match. And if you let him have it, if you let him have that opportunity, then he'll let you have it. He'll let you have that knockout punch. So you've got to keep your guard up. You've got to keep your guard up. And as Christians, you must keep up this shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith that Paul was talking about was not the little round shield that was for hand-to-hand combat. The soldiers also had one of those. They could carry those with them. But what they had on the front lines at the initial attack of the enemy were these long and wide shields. They were long and wide. They were about 2 feet wide, and they were about 4 feet to 5 feet tall. Some of these Roman soldiers, of course. What they would do is at the beginning of a battle, they would shoot arrows at each other, and to cause fear and to try to burn up anything that they could, like clothing or tents or wooden war machines, they would shoot arrows that are tipped with tar or something, or pitch, that would be burning, that wouldn't go out very easily. But these
shields were built in such a way that the arrows would sink in and extinguish those darts. And they were large shields. And so you think about the protection not just of parts of you, but like a small shield would be, but the whole body. The Lord wants us not to get wounded, because a person who is wounded, other soldiers must take care of that and be pulled out of the fighting. God wants us not to be wounded. So we have this shield of faith to protect in a large way our whole body, so we won't get wounded. He wants us not wounded so that we can stay in the battle and stay fighting against the enemy. And then, another interesting point about these shields, they were so big and large, what they would do, the first men of the battle would stand side by side so that these shields would be like a wall. And the enemy, if they attacked, could not get through, because there would be this wall with spears coming out, and it would be hard to get through. And in a sense, that speaks about the church. You see, all of us are important. Everybody must stand in their position with their shield of faith. If there's some weak points, the enemy can break through there. And sad to say, there have been, the shield of faith has dropped in many churches, and they have dropped their faith in God's word. And if Satan has been able to penetrate. But we need to keep our shields up. And then the shield of faith is a shield of trust. It's the trust that we have. That's what our protection is. But faith has to be properly placed. And some people may be having a sentimental trust. They say, well, I have trust. But it's a sentimental, or it can be a passionate trust, but it's in the wrong object. It may be in a field, in a field of straw, because a field of straw, of course, should be in flames. And many of these people that have trusted in false theology, anyway, properly placed faith is in the proper object. You know the story of the three little pigs. Well, they had building materials that were different. There was straw, and there was wood, and there was stone. Well, the first two little pigs didn't stand up against the wolf that was trying to blow their house down, but the one that had his material trusting in stone, it was okay. It was all right. He foiled he defeated the efforts of the wolf. And Satan wants to blow us down too. We have to have our faith in the Word of God. That is the only trustworthy object of our faith. Now, the Word of God is not only the written Word, but it's the living Word. The Word of God, it says, every word of God is flawless in Proverbs. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. See, God is as good as His Word. So we stand by the Word of God. We place our trust and faith. And that faith can quench the fiery darts and temptations of Satan. But then also the living Word. The living. We must place our faith in the living Word, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Actually, this is in 1 John. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, we must have trust in the written Word, but we also must have trust in the living Word, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Faith properly placed is humanity's only shield against the temptations that lead to sin and death. People tend to trust in their own thinking, or sometimes they'll trust in the ideas of teachers or philosophers or politicians. I don't know why anybody would want to trust politicians, but they will trust others' words instead of the Word of God and the Word of His Son. But the Christian believer must echo what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, saying to God, "You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." And Jesus says to the unbeliever who does not have faith in Him, He says, "If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. There is only one hope. There is only one faith that is sure. It is the faith in the Son of God. So keep up your guard. And then don't lose your head. Don't lose your head. That's a good thing to have in a battle. But take the helmet of salvation, it says in verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, Roman helmets were very strong, very well constructed. And the reason they were so strong was because in attack, an enemy, a cavalry enemy, had long, broad swords that they would swing. And they would swing as they came. And what they were trying to do was to cause a head injury, which would be a fatal injury, or to lop off a head. That's what they were trying. I know it's very sad to talk about battle, but that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to decapitate you from your life. He wants to decapitate you. And so these helmets were very strong. And it's called here the helmet of salvation. The word salvation is deliverance, healing. The Lord wants to heal us where our thinking has been wrong, or false thinking. He wants to heal that. But he also wants to deliver us from the blows of false thinking that comes around us all the time. Deception and falsehood. And Roman helmets also were interesting because some of them had a point and some of them had a chevron. And they all were pointing upwards. And it's interesting, I think Paul chose this because, you see, he was talking about the helmet of our salvation being the hope that we have. Our source of hope is heaven. Our source of hope is in heaven, in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, he said this, since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet, to protect our heads from getting decapitated by the enemy. Well, when I was a nursing student years ago, it's not been that many years, like 25 years ago or so, I learned that patients needed to be encouraged to have hope in order to get well. Because without hope, discouragement and despair would work against the healing process and the patient's recovery. But what they failed to tell us was what to base our hope in, that we were going to give them hope. This hope as wishful thinking? Well, that's not what our hope is. Our hope is not wishful thinking. Our hope is in the eternal salvation that Jesus has provided that will make us victorious against the blows of the trials and the storms of this life and whatever comes. There's a hymn that I really like to sing. It's not one that I think we have in our repertoire here, but we have an anchor. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, founded firm and deep in the Savior's love. That's where hope is secure, in Christ's love for us. And then finally, make sure your enemy gets the point. Make sure your enemy gets the point. And we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, the Bible has used all this military language because it's spiritual warfare. And it's not a New Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. In Psalm 45, listen to what it says, this beautiful language. In your majesty, talking about God as a warrior, in your majesty, ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. And that's talking about battle deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. The purpose of spiritual battle, is to make sure that your enemy gets the point, whether it's an arrow or whether it's a sword, because they're going to try to make you get their point. And the whole point, the whole purpose of battle is that at the end of the battle, you are going to be left standing with the point of your sword in the heart of your enemy that's on the ground. And your enemy that you want on the ground, and it says in Scripture we're supposed to trample Satan under our feet. that's going to be Satan down there with the sword of the Spirit from you, holding on to that sword in his heart instead of his sword in your heart, sword of deception and lies. Our best defense is a practiced use of our offensive weapon, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus showed us how to do this. When he was tempted by Satan in a direct confrontation, how did he answer with that sword? It is written. It is written. It is written. And a sword that is in its sheath is useless. It doesn't hurt the enemy at all. In fact, Satan is not afraid of you carrying around a closed Bible. But when you will open the truth of Scripture in public life, in your private life where you're with your friends, and you bring out the points that are the truth of God, that is where Satan is afraid of. He does not like that sword because it cuts through the lies that he has sown in people's minds. So we really need to make sure Satan gets the point. It is written. Needs to be a part of our conversation. He said, you know, it is written this in counter to the lies that you hear many times in public. Many times they're politically correct lies. The lies that the enemy has sown in our culture, in our politics. Well, many of the people around them have been captured by those lies. And it is the sword of the Spirit that will set them free. And finally, the unsheathed sword. When we've taken the sword out, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it is unsheathed, and it is shown, in the presence of that sword, conviction comes to anyone that it needs to come to. It comes to Satan. He's convicted. He does not like to hear the Word of God. He does not like to hear truth. It destroys his kingdom of life. And it's dangerous for our neighbors if they have a guilty conscience. And it's dangerous for us, to our guilty conscience, because it needs to kill a guilty conscience. If we have a guilty conscience, God wants to turn us from holding on to a lie or holding on to a falsehood or a falsehood that we've done and come to the Word of God so that that might be cut out of our hearts and that we might have again a pure heart for the battle. So let's keep our sword, the sword of the Spirit, unsheathed, and let's keep the Word of God upon our lips and make sure our enemy gets the point. Protect yourself from temptation through the faith that is a shield, the Word of God, and the Word of Christ. And cover our thinking with the hope of salvation in Christ. And then to sink the sword of the Spirit into the heart of every lying deception that comes our way in this life and that confronts us in our daily walk. Make sure that when we get up every morning, when we face the day, that we put on this armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the Word of God. And when we are fully armed like that, then we are dangerous every day. We are dangerous soldiers in the army of God every day for the kingdom of darkness that's all around us in people's lives. And then we know that this truth will be always true, that our godly armor, that armor of godly living, will spell death to spiritual defeat. There will be no spiritual defeat. There will instead be spiritual victory. Let's pray. Lord, prepare us every day for spiritual victory. Help us to be a people that are prepared, a people that want to serve you and put on our armor every day to be soldiers in the army of God. Truly, Lord, we are sheep in your fold. We are members of the body of Christ. We are corporately the bride of Christ, and so many other illustrations that we are branches on the vine producing fruit. But we are also soldiers. Help us to be armed and dangerous and to keep the sword of the Spirit in the heart of our enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.